Thank you, Ganesh. And dear listeners, after Vedam Tutor, it is time to move on to Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom. The month of October has just begun, and October always reminds us of that immortal bhajan through which the Lord declared His mission. Manasa bhajare gurucharanam dustara bhavasa karataranam. So beautifully Bhagwan conveyed how only through the chanting of the name of the Lord, meditating at the feet of the Guru, that we can cross this ocean of birth and death. In fact, if we look at the predictions of our ancient sages and seers who had foretold what would happen in the Kali Age, it matches with the sad description of the unrest, restlessness and the evil that the whole world is now going through. But it also says, the scriptures also say, even though the world will be in this pathetic state in terms of erosion of value systems, in terms of decline of righteousness, the only golden lining of the Kali avatar, of the Kali age, is that this is the only period in history where just by chanting the name of the Lord, you can attain Him. You don't have to do any other spiritual practice, no other severe spiritual sadhana is needed to attain the Lord. Only just by chanting the name of the Lord one can attain the divine. That is the blessing of Kali age, and when you think of it, Bhagwan regularized this sadhana for all of us through this beautiful medium of bhajans, so that we enjoy the sadhana, we get immersed in the sadhana, and we derive bliss from this sadhana. We are so happy that we have been gifted with this beautiful blessing of Sai Bhajans. Let us do these bhajans with all our heart, with as little flaws as possible, with every moment as a dedication to Him. So let's begin this journey, this musical journey with Bhagwan, with a prayer. Let us offer our most prayerful and reverential salutations at the lotus feet of the One who is the fundamental principle of the universe and the fundamental principle of each one of us. Dear Lord, please help us to recognize this truth and live in this truth so that we can experience Your love every moment of our lives. With this prayer, let's move on and welcome to this fresh episode of Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom. Today we have a bhajan which adores our beloved Bhagwan as this fundamental truth of this universe, the One who has varied names and forms, but in essence is just one cosmic principle. This bhajan is in the language Hindi, and here is how the first line goes.
Ram Rahim ko bhajne wale tere pujari Baba.
So this is the first line, and now, like in every episode of this program, we will move on to the lyrics, the raga of this bhajan, the beat of the bhajan, and then we will listen to the explanation of the bhava of this bhajan from Brother Balram Chandran, a former student of Baba's university, an accomplished singer, a member of the Prashanti Mandir Bhajan group when he was a student in his university, and now a regular singer at Bhagwan's abode in Chennai, Sundaram. So let's begin with the lyrics.
Ram Rahim ko bhajne wale tere pujari Baba. तेरा नाम एक सहारा। तुम ही हो गीता, तुम ही रामायण, तुम ही हो वेद कुरान, तेरा नाम एक सहारा।
Now that we know the lyrics, let's move on to the raga and the tala of the bhajan, and then we will listen to an elaboration of the melody of the bhajan. Brother Anirudh will give us a demonstration of the ragas and the swaras that go into the bhajan. And now, here is the tune in the voices of Ravi Kumar and Anirudh.
This bhajan is being sung in the scale F sharp पंचम।
राम रहीम को भजने वाले तेरे पुजारी बाबा,
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 तेरा नाम एक सहारा,
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 तुम ही हो गीता, तुम ही रामायण,
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 तुम ही हो वेद कुरान,
तुम ही हो वेद कुरान,
बाबा तुम ही हो वेद कुरान,
बाबा तुम ही हो वेद कुरान,
तेरा नाम एक सहारा,
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 तेरा Tera naam ek sahara.
Tera naam ek sahara.
Ram Rahim ko bhajne wale tere pujari Baba.
So that's the beautiful Sarvadharma Bhajan, and you had Brother Ravi Kumar and Anirudh give us a slow, nice demonstration. And now let us learn a little more about the composition, the raga and the swaras behind it. Anirudh is here with us in the studios. So tell us, Anirudh, what are your thoughts on the technical structure of this bhajan?
Saram Vishu.
Saram.
It's a very melodious composition based on the rag Mohanam in the Carnatic classical music, or we call it Bhopali. This bhajan is a mixture of, maybe I can say, a little bit of Bilawal as well, in the Hindustani music we call, or Shankaravarnam in the Carnatic classical music. So, you have the notes.
Sa re ga pa dha sa sa dha pa ga re sa.
All are Shuddha notes. You don't have ma and ni.
Yes.
In Mohanam, which differentiates from the Shankaravarnam. The speciality in this bhajan is also the subtle curves which you can give, the beautiful variations and the touches. Something like
Tera naam ek sahara.
So these variations, which involve many notes like
ga ga ga,
where the shuddh ga is also coming and the komal ga is also coming. So it adds a lot of beauty to the entire bhajan. These variations are maybe out of the raga, but it really makes that impact when it's added to the bhajan.
Yes. It's not pure Mohanam, but based on Mohanam, but
yeah,
here and there little experiments.
But most of the lines, the way the notes, the travel, like the way it goes is like
sa re ga pa pa.
The progression of the notes is
very much Mohanam.
Like Mohanam, yeah. Yes.
Whereas variations and other things can be taken from a mixture of 2-3 ragas.
Yes.
Or
ga ga ma tera naam.
So there's the ma is coming.
Yes.
So, that brings the Shankaravarnam here.
Yes.
Overall, it's a beautiful melody bhajan.
Yes.
And sounds beautiful in instruments also.
Yes. And I guess there are many bhajans based on Mohanam and Shankaravarnam. And I think there are also bhajans which are sort of borrowing a little bit.
Definitely.
From Shankaravarnam to Mohanam, borrowing from Mohanam to Shankaravarnam.
Yeah, definitely we have many bhajans. Whereas, I want to give some examples where the beauty of this bhajan lies in those typical variations, as I told you before.
Yeah.
So, maybe
Jaya Kausalya Nandana Ram Paramananda Ananda Ram.
This may belong to Pahadi, or that feeling is there in this bhajan. But when you come to this variation of
Mangala Pavana Ram Jaya Sundara Vaidehira.
So that brings a close similarity to this
Ek Sahara.
Yes.
Yeah. And of course you have many bhajans in Mohanam.
Shri Rama Charanam, Shri Rama Charanam, Shri Ram.
So whereas if you look at all those bhajans, it's like a pure Mohanam offering.
Yes.
And the way the each line, as it progresses, it's like the Mohanam, building up of the Mohanam raga. But whereas this bhajan, it's a mix and it's, you know, it's beautiful and very unique in that aspect.
Yes.
That the composer has taken the Mohanam and blended with Shankaravarnam and mixed it and has made a beautiful melody.
Yes.
And this bhajan also sounds good in harmonies, like
Tera naam.
You have standing notes in
yes.
those lines where you can add a
Tera Naam.
So somebody in a choir can sing
Tera Naam,
can be sung by 3-4 people, and yes, the rest 3-4 people can sing
Tera Naam.
Maybe that gives the, together it gives, yes, a symphony.
Yeah, it lends itself to so much of Western symphony and, exactly, Western music, yeah, kind of singing.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Maybe let's try out one line for harmony.
Sure.
1, 2, 3.
Tera Naam Ek Sahara.
That's what Sai Bhajans are. You'll find all...
It's a blend of everything, yeah.
Types and forms of music in Sai Bhajans.
Yeah.
Beautiful. So let's go and explore the bhajan further through the swaras.
Yes, let's do the first line.
Ram Rahim ko bhajne wale tere pujari Baba. Sari ga pa 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 da pa 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 ga ga da pa ga re sari ga.
Sari ga pa 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 da pa 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 ga ga da pa ga re sari ga.
Tera Naam Ek Sahara. Pa pa da re re sa sa sa.
Pa pa da re re sa sa sa.
Tera Naam Ek Sahara. Ga ga ma ma pa ma ga ga ga.
Ga ga ma ma pa ma ga ga ga.
Tera Naam Ek Sahara. Pa pa da re re sa sa sa.
Pa pa da re re sa sa sa.
Tum hi ho Gita, tum hi Ramayana. Ga ga pa 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 da sa da pa.
Ga ga pa 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 da sa da pa.
Tum hi ho Ved Quran. Pa da pa ga re sa re ga.
Pa da pa ga re sa re ga.
Tera Naam Ek Sahara. Pa pa da re re sa sa sa.
Pa pa da re re sa sa sa.
Tera Naam Ek Sahara. Ga ga ma ma pa ma ga ga ga.
Ga ga ma ma pa ma ga ga ga.
Tera Naam Ek Sahara. Ga pa da pa da pa ma ga ma pa ma ga ga ga.
Ga pa da pa da pa ma ga ma pa ma ga ga ga.
Tera Naam Ek Sahara. Pa pa da re re sa sa sa.
Pa pa da re re sa sa sa.
Tera Naam Ek Sahara. pa da pa ma pa da sa ni ri sa da ri sa sa sa.
Pa pa da pa ma pa da sa ni ri sa da ri sa sa sa.
It's a simple and melodious bhajan, isn't it, Anirudh?
Yeah, very melodious bhajan.
So let's do the beat.
Yeah, the beat of this bhajan is 8 beat. This is a slow bhajan and it can be sung maybe 5th or 6th in the order of a 1 hour bhajan session. The count is 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Ram Rahim ko bhajne wale tere pujari Baba.
Ram Rahim ko bhajne wale tere pujari Baba.
Tera naam ek sahara.
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 Beautiful. Thank you very much, Anirudh and Arvind Sai.
Thank you, Vishu.
Sairam.
Sairam. Sairam.
So we now come to the important segment of the bhava of the bhajan. Every bhajan is a medium to connect with the divine, and every devotee, every singer has his own way of connecting to the Lord through every bhajan. We have now Brother Balram Chandran, a former student of Baba's University, sharing his reflections and insights when he sings this bhajan to the Lord.
Dear Swami, loving pranams at your lotus feet. When I hear the bhajan Ram Rahim Ko Bhajne Wale, there are some episodes and a beautiful song which comes to mind. Let me first start with the song. This is a song which was part of a movie in Telugu, which was made on the life of Sri Ramadasu. This beautiful song goes this way.
Shubhakarudu suruchirudu bhavaharudu bhagavantudavadu Kalyana gudaganudu karunaghanaghanudu yavadu Allah tattvamuna అల్లారు ముద్దుగా అలలాలు అందాల చంద్రుడెవడు ఆనందనందనుడు అమృతరస చందనుడు రామచంద్రుడు కాక ఎంకెవ్వడు తాకరా శ్రీరామ నామామృతం ఆ నామమే దాటించు భవసాగరం తాగరా శ్రీరామ నామామృతం ఆ నామమే దాటించు భవసాగరం.
I linked Ram Rahim Ko Bhajne Wale in this particular song because if you look at the second part of the stanza which I just sang, it says Allah tattvamuna allaru mudduga alalalu andala Chandrudevadu. It says that in the holy religion of Islam, the Lord is represented by the crescent and the star. So the crescent, or what is referred to in Sanskrit as the Chandra, or even in Telugu for that matter as Chandra, and a lot of Indian languages as Chandra. The writer of this song beautifully goes on to say that the Chandra or the crescent in the Allah Tattvam, Chandra in the Allah Tattva, is verily Lord Ramachandra himself. I love this song because I think it beautifully portrays the unity of faith. Specifically in this case, it drives home the truth, the eternal truth, that Ram and Rahim are one and the same. We are very blessed to be in the presence of our Lord, who is Ram as well as Rahim. Our Swami is both Ram as well as Rahim. This brings my mind to a couple of beautiful episodes which are related to this. I remember reading this in a beautiful book written by Professor Korbu, Abdul Razak Korbu. Professor Abdul Razak Korbu was a visiting faculty in Sri Sathya Sai Institute of Higher Learning. A lawyer by profession, he was an excellent professor, renowned professor, and he served in Swami's Institute as a visiting professor. And if I remember correctly, this particular episode which I am narrating is from a book which is written, his own autobiography, which is called Sathya Sai Sakha. Sathya Sai, the friend. It's a very short episode, but very, very beautiful and very profound in terms of what it conveys. Professor Abdul Razak Korbu one day was sitting in the interview room along with Swami, and Swami suddenly asks him, "What's your name?" Swami, of course, knows his name, but Swami says, "What's your name?" And Professor Abdul Razak Korbu says, "Swami, my name is Abdul Razak." And then Swami says, "What is the meaning of Abdul?" And the professor says, "Swami, Abdul is a devotee." Swami said, "Okay, Abdul is a devotee. So, what is the meaning of Razak?" And then Professor Korbu says, "Swami, Razak means the Lord Almighty. In this case, it means Allah." So Swami says, "Okay. So, Abdul means a devotee. And Razak means his Lord, his Master, the Lord Almighty, in this case, Allah." And thus summarizing, Swami said, "Dear child, Bandaru, you are my Abdul and I am your Razak." What a beautiful, profound experience. I think, Swami, we are your Abdul and you are the Razak of everybody. So again, I was reminded of this episode because we refer to Swami as Sai Ram. And through this episode, again, Swami, I think, re-emphasized that he is not just Sai Ram, but he is also Rahim. Ram, Rahim ko bajne wale. Tere Pujari Baba. Anybody who worships you in the form of Ram or Rahim, anybody who worships Ram or Rahim, my Lord, is fundamentally worshipping you. So that's the beautiful takeaway which I draw from this particular profound episode. Again, one more episode which comes to mind is a beautiful episode which was narrated by a doctor devotee. This episode was narrated during a medical conference which was conducted in Sundaram here in Chennai. Sundaram is Swami's divine abode here in Chennai, in India. And this doctor narrated this episode. Since I have not sought permission from this gentleman to, share his name, I will not share his name, and neither would I share the details of the other people who are involved in this story. But I heard him narrate this very beautiful episode. This gentleman is a very renowned doctor in Chennai, and he was narrating a very fascinating case from his medical experiences. This gentleman runs his own hospital, and in this hospital was admitted a Muslim gentleman, a very prosperous Muslim gentleman. For the moment, a very devout, prosperous Muslim gentleman. For the moment, let's refer to him as Mohammed. So what happens is Mr. Mohammed gets admitted in the hospital for a surgery. Now, surgeries are always painful, but the challenge specifically in case of Mr. Mohammed was this. As a patient, his clinical condition was such that he had a very, very low pain threshold. Now, in medical terms, we say that each one of us as human beings are capable of taking up to a certain level of pain. And the amount of pain which we can actually take is referred to as our pain threshold. Now, the challenge for Mr. Mohammed was that he had an unusually lower pain threshold. So, the slightest thing would cause unbearable pain for him. So, it was a major challenge. So, what happened is that after the surgery was successful, but after the surgery, after the effect of the anesthesia had died down, naturally the body experiences pain. And this gentleman was just not able to take the pain. It was very painful. This doctor was a Sai devotee. In fact, he's a Hindu. He grew up as a Hindu, the doctor. And he tried every trick which he knew in the book, everything that he studied in medical science, every sedative, every painkiller, to try and lessen the pain. But apparently nothing seemed to work. This gentleman was totally in pain. Very often he would keep calling the doctor back saying, and demand, saying that, doctor, I want the pain to be removed. And he would say, I've done everything which is possible. I've done everything. And he would scream at the doctor saying, no, I'm not able to bear the pain. I will die this moment. So please save me. So please do something about this. So after some time, the doctor didn't know what to do. And he said, okay, let me try and do something. Now, what happened is that the doctor just told Mr. Muhammad, close your eyes. Now, honestly, the doctor didn't know what to do, but he just said, close your eyes. After Mr. Muhammad closed his eyes, this doctor, what did he do? He just closed his eyes. He prayed to Swami, saying, Swami, me as a doctor, I've done everything which medical science can do. It is now time for you to take over. Now, this doctor had on his finger a ring which was materialized by him for Swami. So what the doctor does is, once the patient closed his eyes, he prays to Swami. He then places that ring on this gentleman's, the ring materialized by Swami. He places this ring materialized by Swami on this gentleman's forehead, rubs it gently on his forehead, and then continues to pray for a few minutes. And after a few minutes, what he does is, he silently walks out. The doctor silently walks out. After some time, once the doctor finishes his consultation, he's back home, and there's a nurse who's attending on Mr. Muhammad. The doctor had instructed the nurse to call him later and then update him on the latest condition of Dr. Muhammad, so that, you know, just to keep track of what's happening in the hospital. After some time, the nurse goes to Mr. Muhammad's room, and to her surprise finds that Mr. Muhammad, who had been unable to sleep for so many days because of the acute pain, is fast asleep, which was just unbelievable to the nurse. The nurse doesn't know what to do, because this man had not been sleeping for days together because he was unable to take the pain, and suddenly this man is fast asleep. So he comes rushing back. The nurse comes rushing back, calls up the doctor and says, doctor, I just can't believe this. This gentleman, Mr. Muhammad, is fast asleep. So what should I do? So the doctor says, don't do anything. This is exactly what we wanted. Now, naturally, the doctor didn't tell the nurse what he had done with Swami's ring, but he just said, don't do anything, let him sleep. Mr. Muhammad has a very good night's sleep, and the next day in the morning, when he wakes up, he demands that he wants to see the doctor. And finally, the doctor comes in again and says, doctor, tell me, what did you do yesterday? What did you do yesterday? Because my pain just disappeared. So the doctor says, how does it matter? It doesn't really matter what I did. The point is, yes, the pain went away. You're happy. So forget it. But Mr. Muhammad keeps on insisting, saying that, because the gentleman is a very devout Muslim. So the doctor also did not want to disturb his faith. So the doctor said, no, I mean, it doesn't matter. I mean, the important thing is your pain went away. But Mr. Muhammad kept on insisting, saying, no, I want to know. I want to know how exactly did the pain go away. How exactly did the pain go away? And finally, when Mr. Muhammad insisted a lot, the doctor said, okay, you see this ring? He showed the ring which Swami has materialized and said, yesterday, I prayed to my guru, Sri Satya Sai Baba, and when you were in real pain, as a doctor, I had done everything which medical science can actually do. So what did I do? I prayed to my Lord, Sri Satya Sai Baba, and I placed this ring on your forehead. And apparently, that is what cured your pain, not just cured your pain, but acted as a very powerful sedative when you had, you know, a very, very peaceful sleep in the night. Needless to say, Mr. Muhammad was totally moved. He was moved to tears. In fact, he told the doctor, he said, doctor, if your Satya Sai Baba was actually able to remove my pain, my acute pain, he must be God. There's nobody other than God who can do this. He must be Lord. He must be Allah himself. And in fact, the doctor went on to say that a lot of times after that, very privately, this gentleman would get in touch with the doctor and, you know, occasionally ask for vibhuti. He had a photograph of Swami, which he would actually secretly keep inside his closet in the in his room, in his bedroom. And then he would worship it. He would worship Swami's photo. He would pay obeisance to Swami. Of course, he did not tell the world outside, and neither is it necessary. But he would actually occasionally collect vibhuti from the doctor, and he would pay his obeisance to Swami. So here is again a case of one of the many Muhammads whom Swami has rescued, because he is the Ram. He is Rahim. Ram Rahim ko bhajne wale tere pujari Baba. Swami, irrespective of whether I pray to Ram or I pray to Rahim, ultimately those prayers reach you, my Lord. Sarva Deva Namaskaram Keshavam Tirikachati. This is something which Swami keeps telling us, and that's what I'm reminded of. One more thing which comes to mind in this bhajan is, if you see the latter part of the bhajan, says, Tumi ho Gita, Tumi Ramayan, Tumi ho Vedapuran. It basically says that, Swami, all the scriptures are basically you. You are all the scriptures. All the scriptures are enshrined in you, and they have their source in you. This reminds me of, again, one more short but very, very profound episode. I believe that once there was a gentleman, a very scholarly gentleman, who was speaking in Swami's presence. In the course of his speech, he quoted a few points from Swami's discourses, and he linked it to various messages from the scriptures, from the Vedanta, in fact, to be specific. And after doing this, this gentleman concluded his speech by saying, Swami speaks only Vedanta. So the gist of his speech was, Swami speaks only Vedanta. The moment the statement was uttered, Swami corrected him, saying, Atla kadu Bangaru, it's not that way, Bangaru. It is not that Swami speaks only Vedanta. Whatever Swami speaks is Vedanta. So I'm reminded about this episode because we are saying, Tumi ho Gita, Tumi Ramayan, Tumi ho Vedapuran. But Swami, it is not that you speak Gita, you quote the Puranas, or you quote the Ramayana. It is, I think, Swami, the other way around. Whatever you speak is Vedanta. Whatever you speak is the Quran. Whatever you speak are the Puranas. Whatever you speak is verily the scriptures, is verily the Gita. Tumi ho Gita, Tumi Ramayan, Tumi ho Vedukya. And thus, my Lord, Tera Naam, Ek Sahara, irrespective of what caste, creed, religion I come from, my Lord, you are my only refuge. Jai Sai Ram.
So that was Brother Balram Chandran, an alumnus of Bhagwan's University, who had the privilege of singing in the physical presence of the Lord during his student days, and even now sings in Prashanti Nilayam whenever he is in the Divine Hamlet, and regularly sings at Bhagwan's abode in Sundaram in Chennai. So with that, we come to the last part of this program. Here is how this bhajan sounds when it is sung in the Prashanti Nilayam Mandir by the students of Bhagwan's University. So here is the Prashanti Mandir version of Ram Rahim Ko Bhajne Wale.
Ram Rahim Ko Bhajne Wale Tere Pujare Baba
Baba, tumi ho
Brings us to the end of the current episode of Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom. We hope you enjoyed this episode. As always, you can send us your comments and suggestions and feedback by writing to listener@radiosai.org. The audio engineers for this program are Sunil and Abhishek, and the background score was done by another alumnus from Chennai, T.S. Ramakrishnan. With heart full of love and gratitude, we offer this program at the lotus feet of our most beloved Lord. So with that, it's time to move on to the next segment of Thursday Life, coming to you straight from the studios. And what will begin in a few moments now is Radio Sai Children's Hour with Prem and Ganesh. After 60 minutes of Radio Sai Children's Hour, we will have a fresh episode of Outside Inside, Deep Inside. And today, we are going to listen to Mr. Y. Srinivas, a dynamic Sai youth leader from the state of Andhra Pradesh. We are going to hear from him about how Bhagwan has guided this youth movement in the state of Andhra Pradesh, a 360 degree view of youth in the Sai mission. So that's coming up 1 hour from now. For the moment, enjoy Radio Sai Children's Hour with Prem and Ganesh. Thank you so much. Sai Ram.